Buenos tardes, and good evening to all of you, and thank you so much, Demetrius, for that very kind introduction, and as a former employee of DOL, I understand, which is terrific. So I know we'll have a lot of collaboration that we'll be doing with you and with the new agency. And I say that not facetiously, because it is a new agency. It's a new day. It really is, and I want to applaud all of you for the hard work that you do, and want to let you know that we want to work alongside with you. There's so much that we have to do to help bring about change in our country, acceptance, integration of different populations. And as a child of, first-generation child of immigrants, I know how important this is. I recall as a child having to help translate when my mother would come and attend school with me to find out what the teachers were actually saying, and if I was fibbing or lying about my report card. And she would say to them in Spanish, si necesitas disciplinar a mi hija, you have, tienes todo el poder. And I say, Mom, you don't want to say that. Because at that time, teachers really did take that to heart. Thank God that has changed. But nevertheless, we still have so many issues, and I really want to commend the Migration Policy Institute for the tremendous impact you've had on the quality of life of so many immigrants and people of color that speak different languages here in our great country. And I think that's one thing that I pride myself on, diversity. That diversity shouldn't be a hindrance, it should be a positive. And especially in not just the global economy, but in all our transactions, in our everyday life. Living here in Washington almost 25 years ago as a graduate student, I could remember standing out as a Mexican-American Latina and wondering where people were, you know, and people would mistake me for being Middle East or Greek. And I had all kinds of people saying, you're Filipino, you're this, you're that. Well, I am a person of color, and I may not look like everyone, but I represent a very important part of our culture here in the United States, and that is one that is accepting, one that is giving, and one that I believe has tolerance for diversity. And now coming back here and living here on a longer term, I see that it has struck here in the District of Columbia, the diversity. The large number of immigrant populations, not just from foreign countries, from Europe or from the Middle East or from Africa, but also from as far away as South America, Puebla, Mexico, places, indigenous places across the Western Hemisphere. And I certainly see that as something that is a contributor to our workforce and to our economy. And having come from a family of immigrants, hardworking immigrants, and my father was a very, very important role model for us as we were growing up as children. Very hard work ethic, one that always instilled respect and value for one's work, but also with the promise that coming here and being a part of the American society, that anyone could have their dreams fulfilled. And their dreams for their children was that they would have a better education, better livelihood, that they could take part in our society. And they never imagined that their daughter would ever come to public office. That was so not what they wanted me to do. They wanted me to have a secure job. They wanted me to finish high school. They didn't know about college. And I think that kind of spinned their heads, because as if you know traditional immigrant families, they're very reluctant to let their daughters leave home, especially if they're not engaged to be married. Or if they were a male, that they would be sent off to the military. And that's kind of the upbringing that I had. So it's very interesting to see the dynamics occur in my own family, how after having the opportunity to go to college and benefit and also make a statement about the community that I come from that was largely blue-collar immigrant in a small town in Los Angeles County known as La Puente. The English version was La Puente. The Spanish version is La Puente, which is the Fuente, that means the bridge. Very nice community, but very few people had opportunities there. Everyone worked in the factory, your parents worked in the factory, or for whatever reason, most folks didn't aspire to go to college and have those kinds of opportunities. I was very fortunate to have people at my high school, a gentleman named Mr. Sanchez, who believed in me and told me that I could go to college. And I thought, what are you talking about, Mr. Sanchez? My parents are working class people. It's not as though we have money to send you or my other brothers and sisters to college. So you're dreaming. And at that time, I took advantage of the opportunities through the Pell Grant programs, through the federal-sponsored student loan programs. And in California, we have what we call the Cal Grant program. And I was very fortunate to be eligible for all of those programs. And with that, I was able to embark on kind of my venture into the world. Only 20 minutes away from my home, though. I attended a college that was only 20 minutes away from my home. But I knew it was a hemisphere away, because the people that I came to know came from different parts of the world. My roommate was Filipina, from the Philippines. She came from a military background, her family. I had roommates that came from different countries, from India, from different parts of the world. So it really helped to open up my eyes even more as someone who wasn't as exposed to diversity globally at that time. So it helped, I think, to make me who I am, those kinds of experiences. And now, as someone helping to lead an agency that is charged with helping to put people to work, regardless of your socioeconomic or education or your language ability or even your migration status. All these issues are very important to me, and I take to heart very seriously the notion that we have a lot of work to do. We have a major crisis, unemployment rates astronomical, out of sight. We've never seen this kind of recession go on and be so persistent for more than almost 2 years. And I know that we have a lot to do, especially with these communities that you work with, because they are going to be the ones that will be most affected, if not already. They will be impacted. They will need to have a sense of security that they are wanted, and that they can also be a productive part of our society and our economic rehabilitation. And I see that as my role in the Department of Labor. So one thing I want to tell you is I'm very excited about the work that you're doing, because I think you can help also in my efforts to move this agenda along, so that when I talk about giving out grants to different cities and states and talk about educating people that may not have even a high school education and may not be as literate as you or I, to give them those opportunities so that they can contribute to our workforce and hopefully change the course of our economic ability to create jobs, and jobs that will help sustain our planet and help improve the conditions, not in our workplace, but more importantly, reduce our dependency on foreign oil and fossil fuels, and to really begin to focus in on the human talent and strength that we have here, and that's people, regardless of where you come from. And that's going to be my priority. So one priority that's very big on my agenda is creating green jobs. Creating green jobs, not for those people who, maybe I shouldn't say that. Green jobs for everyone that wants a change. Green jobs for everyone that wants a change in their career, because you have a lot of dislocated workers from Michigan, from different parts of the country that recently lost their jobs. Those jobs will never come back. They left. So now what do we do with this workforce? In addition, what do you do with the service employees, service workers in the hotel, restaurant, and poultry industry, construction industry that recently lost their jobs? Retooling them, giving them opportunities for advancement in education, and part, giving them the ability to use a Pell Grant, if they're a dislocated worker, to use that $5,300 as a down payment on a career at a community college or at a trade school or a vocational school that will give them those opportunities and skills. Secondly, reinforcing language and literacy, that is first and foremost also in the workplace, because if you can get away with that, you can keep your job. And that's very important. I am very big on promoting cultural diversity and multilingual interpretive services. So that's one of the first things that we're going to be doing at the Department of Labor, bringing in people that can help us translate our materials to make sure that we're hitting all those key populations. I think the barrier is within us, within the Department of Labor. we have to bring down that wall and say we are open for business and we want to help promote access to jobs. We also want to let people know that in the workplace that there are laws that will protect them. If even though you may not understand that this government has federal laws that protect wage and hour and discrimination, there are codes in the law that protect people, different classes of people, people need to be educated about that. And so we plan on doing a very robust enforcement of our labor laws at the workplace, which also will go hand in hand with helping to educate our employers. We have many small business entrepreneurs who don't speak good English as well, who also have to be educated about what their liabilities and responsibilities are. So likewise, we want to do that twofold. And then I think lastly, I would just say to you, one of the most valuable resources we have are our young people, our youth. And Lord knows, in my community, the Hispanic Latino community, the majority of our population is under the age of 18. So one of the core missions I believe we have to have is to make sure that people stay in education, that they continue to fulfill that American dream that some of you and I believe in, that people have that foundation, that they have access, that they're not discriminated against, and that they have the ability to make those choices, that it's not going to be my choice to say, you go to a college, you don't, you go to this career path. I want people to be able to make those decisions intelligently, and they can only do it if they have a good education. So promoting youth programs, and we're rolling out a whole series of programs now, and we want our young immigrant children who are currently making up a large segment of our public education to be involved in that. Help us get that message out to them, that they are needed, that they are wanted, and in the future, we're going to rely on them as our future labor force. And we want to remain competitive. And the way we do that is by helping to instill that they have the appropriate education and tools so that we can compete for those 21st century green-collar jobs. And I don't discriminate. I want Latinas, I want females, I want women to also take part in that discussion, because for so long, immigrant women also have been precluded from these kinds of opportunities. So the more information is power, that will help, I think, to raise not just expectations, but their ability to compete, to do well here in our society, and to continue to be the strength of our country. Immigrants are the strength and basis for our country's competitiveness and for where we go in the future. And I'm very excited to be a part of that under this new administration. So with that, I think I will end. I will say to you that you have my commitment to work with you. One of the priorities for this administration is to move on comprehensive immigration reform. And I continue to be an advocate for that. I think that far too many people live in the shadows, and we have to bring them out. We must have some way of identifying who they are and making sure that people are not being taken advantage of and that they can have some semblance of a normal life in this country, those that earn it. So this won't be a giveaway by any means. It will be something that you will earn legalization. So that's something that I want to work on with you and hope that I can rely on your support. In terms of the entire migration and immigration issue, just dealing with people here in our country, again, I'm just very pleased to be the first Hispanic, Latina, cabinet member to serve in the Department of Labor. And I think it sends a strong message that we are looking at the workforce in our country very differently and our relations abroad as well. Because I do get to dabble in bilateral relations dealing on labor, child labor, trafficking, and issues that I care most deeply about. So I'm going to continue my work in that arena. With that, I will say thank you. Muchísimas gracias por invitarme hoy este día muy especial a ver tanta gente nuevos que están aquí con nosotros. Espero que ustedes puedan trabajar con nosotros para cambiar la tema de esta nación y para mejorar las condiciones de los inmigrantes y de las personas que vienen aquí a tener una vida mejor. Thank you very much.